You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy Friday to us all. Thank you so much for tuning in. You could be a big part. Join us on the phone lines or the text line at 855-752-4842, 855-75-7. Got Jess P.S. working hard on the board for you today. Jazzed as hell co-host James Santel, host of Amicus, a law review, broadcasting right here in the Civic Media Radio Network on Saturdays, 9 to 11 a.m. He is a former U.S. attorney, and he's a friend of ours. Jim, thanks for sticking around, man. Good to see you.
Good to be with you on a day when memories of Maine justice are in my mind as I think about what's going on there. The good old days.
Donald Trump did visit Maine Justice today, as MSNBC is calling an unusual move. And we talked, we played some of the sound in the last segment. We're going to move on topically in just a moment. But our caller and our friend Joe from the last segment brought up this matter of the voting machines, Dominion, yes, and Smartmatic, and the fact that they were Dominion specifically. I think Smartmatic's still going
on, right?
Dominion settled for $700-800 million on the Fox News because they were out there disparaging them and telling lies about Dominion. Well, today Donald Trump got up in front of the Department of Justice and told the Department of Justice that CNN and MSNBC should be illegal.
Right.
And that they're doing horrible things, and he's really disparaging. Goes on to call Norm Eisen, attorney, and he has the Substack of The Contrarian, also a founding member of CRU, a government watchdog organization, called him violent.
A violent person.
And Joe's point, and if you would kind of give me your opinion on this, is that similar to what we've heard from Fox News? I mean, you know, Fox, don't call it news, was adamant on it all the time. They were told not to. They continued doing it. And eventually, they settled for hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right.
Do you find this in the same vein at all?
Yeah, it is. And we've got really two different lanes here, right? You've got, again, as we talked before, you've got people in the public arena who necessarily have to suffer some criticism, right? And sometimes, and that's the New York Times standard, which, again, the president doesn't understand. That's called actual malice. You have to show that there's actual malice by CNN or MSNBC or by Norm Eisen or any of these folks. You knew it was wrong. You published it with the intent. Actual malice. That's New York Times versus Sullivan. Comes out of the 1960s. And yes, that's right. Martin Luther King, right? So that's part of this. And then the other, there's just general defamation, which I would argue, yes, indeed, consistent with what Joe has said today, is also out there. You know, this is, again, a public official now, not a news agency, attacking someone else. So you don't really have a news agency. You don't have a New York Times versus Sullivan.
Well, you have a public official attacking the news agency,
right?
versus the other way around. The news agency usually attacks a public official.
Normally how this goes. And so what is defamation? Let's do some civics. This is some law school here, Dom. Again, defamation. You have to demonstrate a false statement. There are many of them, including at the top of the list today, this notion that Norm Eisen is violent, of course. Published to a third party. Oh, yeah. America, 324 million people today. Causing harm to reputation, I think, Norm Eisen.
Certainly.
Mary reported before, plainly he is standing up against us, but there are an awful lot of people think, gosh, who is this guy? Reputation being compromised.
And same with CNN and MSNBC.
Absolutely. Anybody who is under attack today, the newspapers is out there, and the defendant's at fault. He does this either with negligence or, again, with actual malice, knowing what he's doing. You know, if you were in law school, all the elements of that particular offense are there. And, you know, as we were talking once again about Todd Blanche sitting there, he's got to be thinking. He's a bright guy. He's got to be thinking. Maybe he's not reviewing the elements of the offense of defamation in that moment, but he's got to be cringing and maybe going home tonight thinking, what was this today? And how do I get beyond this today?
I don't believe that for a minute, man. He sold his soul for that check a long time ago. He knew what he was doing. He continues to happily cash those checks. And now he's a big government employee. So, you know, it got even better for him.
Again, this is a man. My point is, I think intellectually he knows better, but he's sold out and he's now being intellectually dishonest when he goes out there and advances this president's policies, which he can do as the deputy attorney general of the United States of America.
You got the framing all wrong. Right. It's not selling out, baby. It's buying in.
Right, right.
855-752-4842. Trump also, in this screed going after the press and our First Amendment rights, throws a statistic. 97.6% of the stories published or written by MSNBC and CNN, according to him, were negative against him. Now, that's very specific. Does that matter? Throwing kind of numbers like, it seems like, we did some research, and when he throws a number, does that help his cause or help another different cause? Does that matter at all, Jim?
It should matter to every American, whether you're in a lawsuit or not. And it's the kind of thing that you add into the lawsuit, right? When you're describing, frankly, a talking complaint, if you will. You talk about the references that he makes, of course, to violence in America being up. That's demonstrably wrong. And in fact, all you need to do is go across the street, Mr. President, to the FBI that publishes these numbers every single year in virtually all areas, not everyone, virtually all areas, as we know well, violent crime continues to decrease. Not to say that we don't have profound problems in some areas of our nation, but the overall statistics are just completely contrary to what you said, Mr. President. All those kinds of things, you put those in the context of overall defamation, lies you're telling. At a minimum, I'm hoping the media will file some Freedom of Information Act requests and say, okay, 97.6, that's very specific, Dom, as you said. We'd like to see the chart.
Yeah.
Show me the Excel sheet that provides that.
Let me get a Sharpie, man. I'll show you.
Right, right. And that's where the media, once again, there's an awful lot to do. That's the kind of thing that somebody needs to ask him about. The next, or at least his press secretary. Where does that information come from?
Yes.
Where does that information come from?
Of course, she'll take it personal, like she doesn't know how numbers work. We also saw in the car run during the break the challenges to Donald Trump's executive orders. Apparently, we're up to 123 different lawsuit challenges against the directives of this president. I mean, and they're very fond. You talk to like Ron Johnson or any of the Republicans here from the state of Wisconsin. Oh, they're off to a hell of a start. Look how fast we're moving. Oh, da da da. Well, yeah, but now you got 123 court cases. There's a reason for that, because you're overstepping your bounds in most of those cases.
Absolutely, and in the great majority of those cases, many of them, if not all of them, in federal court. We've got federal judges appointed by Democratic presidents and Republican presidents, and almost to a person, they're saying, no, Mr. President, the 14th Amendment does not contemplate the elimination of birthright citizenship. Mr. President, you do not have the authority to fire all of these people. On and on, USAID, we can domestic funding, all these kinds of things. We've just got judges on both sides of the continental United States last couple of days saying, no, you can't fire thousands of probationary employees. These are people who are looking at the law. And yes, they're preliminary decisions, they're TROs. Maybe at some point they come up to the Supreme Court and John Roberts will invoke what he did back in July and say, well, maybe the president's got that right. But right now, when we do have federal judges who are enforcing the law, Senator Johnson, you're not being successful and you're being stopped. The only question, once again, is will this president follow the rule of law? Or does he say, implicit in what he's talking about today, I don't care. I don't care. I'm not going to do what some federal judge tells me to do. That's when you have the constitutional crisis. That's when Americans really need to be in the streets.
855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Let's take some callers in on this topic, and we'll dive into some of those court cases with James Santel. Cindy from Appleton, you're next. Welcome. What do you got for us, Cindy?
Well, isn't the orange one illegally on the streets? I mean, he's a convicted felon. He's a convicted rapist. Why isn't he locked up?
Yes, right.
He was convicted. It was civil. Thank you for the call, Cindy.
Right. And Cindy, I certainly broadly find myself in company with you. That is, this is Juan Merchan, who should have sentenced Donald Trump long before he was elected, not just because of that, but he was found guilty by a jury way back in May of last year after several weeks. Cindy, as you know well, a jury, unanimous jury, beyond a reasonable doubt. And there was really no reason in the end to postpone and postpone and postpone that sentencing until Donald Trump was elected, until 10 days before he is sworn in, and then impose upon him a sentence that really is a non-sentence. But, Cindy, to the solace we take from that is your point, which is we have a president to this day remains a convicted felon of crimes in the state of New York against the people of New York. No appellate court to this day has overturned that conviction. That's an important thing to keep in mind.
Yeah, I guess he's a felon, but it doesn't mean anything. Right, yeah. I mean, if there's no consequence to it, there's no literally zero consequence. Now, the only thing he lost is perhaps some time because he had to show up to court and he probably had to pay his attorneys a few bucks. You know, he hates doing that. That's the only consequence, man. He got away with it. I can't believe those words are coming out of my mouth. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Mark from the SAC, you're next. Happy Friday, buddy. What do you got for us?
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah, and it just is amazing that Donald Trump doesn't know who Blaine Cannon is. After all, he appointed her. I mean, somebody just must have stuck a piece of paper in front of him, and he just said, they said, sign this here, and he just signed without said, even knowing what it was. I wish I had access like that to him. I'd have him writing checks off to me, and you know, his bank account, for God's sake. And I wonder if in his cases against the civil cases he lost, when he's going to finally pay up for that, because can he delay that forever? I mean, that at some point in time, somebody's just going to say, no, now it's time for you to pay. Your appeals are done. Pay.
Yeah, that's a great point. Jim, do you know where we stand? I guess the E. Jean Carroll case specifically, right?
Yeah, and again, there are appeals pending as to that, right? And so the judgment is stayed. But, Mark, you're absolutely right. These are called enforcement proceedings, and we saw that again, making reference once again to Rudy Giuliani after he defames those two hardworking polling workers in Georgia. Eventually, there are enforcement proceedings, and that's what you saw recently, and he's obliged. We don't know exactly what he does, but he's obliged to probably give up some property and some money there. And at some point when these judgments become final, again, they're all civil judgments against him, at some point they are and can be enforced. And you can, yes, indeed, seize assets and you can go after bank accounts, all kinds of civil remedies that can, in fact, be pursued by successful plaintiffs against him.
Thank you for the call, Mark. Have a great weekend. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. James Santel, my co-host today. You can check his fine program out on Saturdays right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 9 to 11 a.m. We got Just BS working hard on the board. We're going to come back. We're going to dive into some of these cases. The Trump administration must rehire thousands of fired workers. Judges rule. That's plural judges. One on the East Coast, one on the West Coast. We're going to get into that as well. And what does that mean? Come back with us, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Just P.S. working hard on the board. James Santel, my co-host for the day. Moving on to other topics of legal issues.
Fascination and horror at the same time, right?
A New York Times reporting the Trump admin must rehire thousands of fired workers. Judges rule. Now, this is a judge, in Maryland, James Brader, U.S. District Court for the District of Maryland, and also, some cat out in San Francisco as well.
Right. William Alsop is his name, there right? We go. Northern California. Both ends of the nation, Dom, as you observed. Alsop, giving us some good language here. He says, it's a sad day when our government would fire some good employees and say it was based on performance when they know good and well that it's a lie. It was a sham, he goes on to say, in order to try to avoid statutory requirements.
No, that sounds bad. Right. If I were to do that as an individual, what would happen? I mean, I'd be remanded by the court.
Again, these are civil proceedings. So at least in America to this point, we don't jail people in civil proceedings. Who knows what the future may bring here. But when you receive words like that, a judge is telling you that, that's the time that you sit back and think, gosh, maybe I need to rethink what I'm doing here because this isn't going well.
Double down, right, baby, right, double
right?
down.
And that's exactly what happens here. The judge also says if it's done right, there can be a reduction in force with an agency, and that has to be true. But you got to do it in the right way. Both of the judges are saying that. And frankly, every judge looking at this would say just the same thing. You can't do what he calls a sham thing. The concern, once again, is will Donald Trump follow this, right? A lot of these folks, Department of Agriculture, many, many agriculture, VA, Treasury, Defense, Energy, Interior, all employees, probationary employees who are supposed to come back to work. What is the message to them? Probably the people in those agencies no longer have contact information. So how do we reach out to them, as we've seen before? It is just so over the top. Impossible to believe that we're doing this now inside the United States government.
He's pushing every button, right?
Right. I mean,
he's testing the electric fence. He's looking for the weak spot.
Right.
According to the New York Times, the Judge Alsup from San Francisco said he had hoped testimony from the officials involved in the firings would provide clarity about the conception and execution of the plans. He excoriated a lawyer from the Justice Department for failing to produce Mr. Ezell and other potential witnesses. As part of his ruling on Thursday, Judge Alsup specified that the government would have to allow Noah Peters, a lawyer working with Mr. Musk's team who was detailed to the personnel office, to sit for a deposition in Washington about the impetus behind the firings. Here's what the judge said. You will not bring the people in here to be cross-examined. You are afraid to do so because you know cross-examination would reveal the truth.
He's
right on, man. They're like, no, we're not letting that guy testify because, of course, they'll know. If he testifies truthfully, he'll spill the beans on the whole thing. So, we're just not going to do that.
Absolutely. And again, this is a time when individuals, many of whom they're not just functionaries, but they're being told plainly to do this, probably against their better judgment and probably knowing that this is illegal. When you get on the stand, you swear to tell the truth. If you say, no one ever told me this, and there are probably emails and documents about this, that is a crime. That's called perjury, right? And the question is, do these people, as they come in, want to expose themselves to crimes? They want to lay themselves down at the altar.
Well,
because
if you do what the boss says, you're going to perjure yourself. Right. And if you tell the truth, they're going to rule against you.
Exactly. And there is no clear path. You don't want to engage in the crime. That's very, very clear, right? That's the problem, once again.
Is it a crime for the government to present to a judge? BS? What? No, they weren't. I mean, they're if they were able to get this testimony and it came back and it was so very evident. Now, the judges, what happens in that case? Slap on the wrist? This is a ruse. This is a fraud. What are you talking about? A sham?
Here's more legal procedures called suborning perjury, right? And that, too, is a crime. And there are circumstances, again, typically in the criminal setting, but not always, could be civil as well. If you, as a lawyer, if you're a representative here and of an agency, a legal representative, and you're putting somebody on the stand knowing what they're going to say is false, you have also not only violated the rules of the court, you're arguably in contempt, but you're suborning perjury. You're supporting the representations that you know are wrong. That, too, is a crime. Well, a lot of people got to think about what they're doing
here. Well, the
way
they fired them all was for performance. Because the only way they could fire them legally and do it the way they did was to blame everything on performance,
right? And so what you do then, what the plaintiffs in all these cases will do individually, they'll say, okay, wait, I'm a probationary employee. I've never gotten a review. Or in some instances, some of these folks looking forward say, wait a minute.
I've gotten
3-month reviews. And they've said I'm fantastic.
Right?
Deal with that. And that's why Judge Alsup was saying, bring it on. Let's have those people testify about what really happened here. They know that the emperor has no clothes.
But they're... I mean, these are just temporary orders, right? So there's a lot going on here. Let's see. According to the New York Times, ALSUP, again, this is the San Francisco, that ruling was a preliminary injunction intended to remain in effect while the case is tried and a final decision is rendered. Brader's, the other Maryland ruling, is even more short-lived, just a two-week measure aimed at pausing any more drastic cuts to those agencies while the lawsuit plays out. Can the government, the DOJ, Trump administration in this case go in and try to change their position? Because obviously the judges aren't buying that this is a performance issue. Can they go back and try to justify somehow, some way, these firings? Because they're trying to get around a statute, right?
They are, absolutely. And they're also addressing time, right? They've got to come up with something. An awful lot of people, I think, who are probably burning, maybe they're not burning midnight oil trying to figure out what we do in front of the judge. But that's a part of this, too. You want to figure out what is our best argument. Obviously, these judges are not buying what we're saying. Can we find some probationary employee somewhere who is a bad employee who would have been fired anyway? And we bring that one forward. That's not going to carry the day, but they're looking hard and fast for something. What they should do, of course, is admit that, again, there's no basis for doing this. Reinstate all these people, put them back, and do the individual performance reviews that would otherwise result in finding some people who are, most people are wonderful, some of them not so good.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. James Santel sticking around for another half hour. We'd like to end the show. Tell us something good. We love it. So make sure you join us for that. The Trump administration not only going after the media, not only going after government watchdog groups, also going after attorneys. We're going to talk about that next. 855-752-4842. Back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's a phone line. It's a text line. Got Jess P.S. working hard for you and James Santel joining me till the 6 o'clock hour, wrapping the show up with telling us something good. Hope you got something good, Jim. We will share it with all. I want you to join us as well. It's Friday. It's a beautiful day here in Wisconsin. That's always good. Don't you got to be deep. Just, start by telling us something good. That'll be the last segment. One of our texters, Uncle Tony from Columbus, he jumps in. I think you know what we're going to be talking about. Yes, can Jim comment on the law firms Trump is targeting being absolute cowards by not fighting back? What? It seems like it's all about the Benjamins instead of the law with these firms. Uncle Tony, I don't know if I agree with your premise, but counselor, what are your thoughts? Do you believe Perkins Coie and these other firms are fighting back? I mean, they filed court cases, right?
They absolutely are. And this is just a matter of getting the information correct. They've gone in front of a federal district court judge. Her name is Beryl Howell. We've talked about her before. Mm. She did a lot of sentencings of those January 6th folks. Oh, wait, they were pardoned by this president.
Oh, wow, waste of time that
right,
was.
Right, but she is out there, and she's not taking any of this. And so the attorneys from Perkins Coie go in, and they say, yes, indeed, this is having a dramatic impact on this. The president basically discouraging federal officials from interacting with the firm's lawyers. They can't get into federal buildings, shutting them down, communications shut down. And indeed, Beryl Howell says you can't do that. She enters, again, a temporary order. It's not permanent. She goes on to say, regardless of whether the president dislikes the firm's clients, yes, indeed, Perkins Coie used to represent a leader in American history and politics. Her name is Hillary Clinton, used to be our Secretary of State, a senator from New York. Regardless of whether the president likes the firm's clients, issue an executive order targeting the firm based upon the president's dislike for the political position of the firm's clients or the firm's litigation postures is retaliatory and runs head-on into the well-established protections of the First Amendment. That's Beryl Howell. Can't do this. Stop it. Knock it off, she's saying, as do virtually all of the other federal judges who are addressing this sort of thing. Beryl Howell, again, standing up against this kind of oppression. You can't do this. And again, it's just because you sign a piece of paper, Mr. President, doesn't mean that it's legal, that it's constitutional. Thank goodness we've got judges like Beryl Howell and others who are saying, no, along the way. Also invoking some interesting literary aspects of this.
Yes.
You'll permit me one of those along the way. She talks about Alice's Adventures in Wonderland.
The judge did.
The judge does this, right? And she does this from the bench. Dom and Jess, I know you've got your copies at home, and you make reference to these routinely. She talks about the Queen of Hearts, who in Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, at the slightest inconvenience, she says, the judge says, would say, off with their heads, off with their heads. And she compares our president to the Queen of Hearts. Inconvenienced by all this and saying, off with their heads? No, you can't do that. That's a judge making the point as clearly as you possibly can.
Queen of Hearts. I was thinking of Juice Newton, you know. Queen of Hearts. That's telling. Right? She's putting him in his place. She had other derogatory things and other rulings saying against him, but referring to him when he calls himself or puts images out there of himself as a monarch,
yes.
And so forth. I guess a little bit here I wanted to share with the folks specifically. The law firm said that the implications for the executive order Trump signed had significance beyond one law firm, as it was, quote, an affront to the Constitution and our adversarial system of justice. Its plain purpose is to bully those who advocate points of view that the president perceives as adverse to the views of his administration, whether those views are presented on behalf of paying or pro bono clients. The suit added that Perkins Coie cannot allow its clients to be bullied, apparently saying that the order has already hurt business, resulting in, quote, significant lost revenue and harm to clients, it claims in its complaint.
What a disaster. What a catastrophe, right? Again, not only for this firm, but it sends a message to any other firm out there, right? This is the deterrent in the wrong direction. This is negative deterrence. You take us on, you file challenges to the things I'm doing. You represent clients I don't like. I'm going to announce you. I'm going to identify who you are.
And now you can't get in the building to do the meetings.
Exactly.
And they're dropping them left and right because they got to be able to, they can't do it.
Right. The General Services Administration obliged, arguably, to enforce the rules established by this president. And it sends, once again, the chilling message on a day that we're also talking about attacking anybody. We're talking about the media, lawyers also. Anybody who... in Donald Trump's view, articulates a view, takes a position contrary to his, those people are not only contrary to what he believes, and that's okay, but they're also acting illegally, unconstitutionally, and their conduct is so bad, I need to issue an executive order to stop it. Once again, the cynicism dripping from all of this because he thinks somehow Americans will think that that's somehow proper. That's somehow an invocation of civics.
Well, sooner or later they'll come after
right,
you, yo.
Right,
you know what I'm
absolutely.
Saying? I mean, come on, man. It's the media. It's individual Norm Eisen, or it's right. Perkins Coie, or you know, or it's a federal worker, or it's LGBT, or you know, it's pretty much anybody, right. Not Donald Trump and those that kiss his ass are targets. And now it's not just you know truthing out some social media messages. It's got the force of the executive office behind it,
and comes after you one day as well. If you'll indulge me, another literary reference that's not coming out of Beryl Howell, but this is from Henry VI, Part 2. This is Dick the Butcher. He and his henchmen, Shakespeare, of course, are planning to overthrow the king, right? And what he says, those infamous words we all know, the first thing we do, let's kill all the lawyers. Now, it's the product of the predicate for an awful lot of lawyer jokes.
Certainly.
People get that wrong. What Dick the Butcher is saying is we need to overthrow government. We need to become authoritarian, overthrow the king. How do we do that? We get rid of the people who are in our way. Those are the lawyers. Dick the Butcher wants them gone so that he can take control. I would offer that Donald Trump may or may not be the Queen of Hearts, may or may not be Dick the Butcher, but in both circumstances, wildly, wildly illegal behavior on behalf of our president that is in the nature of a bully. Absolutely. Dick the Butcher, Henry the Sixth, Part 2. First thing we do, let's kill all the lawyers. That's what Donald Trump is saying today.
I can't help but think of Dick the Bruiser, the professional wrestler and former Green Bay Packer. But Dick the Butcher, going after the attorneys, like the lawyers like this, I mean, does that help his cause? I mean, if you want to break down the fundamental structures of this country, if you get rid of all the lawyers, who's gonna fight you in court. If you get rid of all the, you know, the intellects and the right. professors and right. all those damn teachers, you know, then you can, you know, dictate and how education must be and you know, stand for this and kneel for that. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You're going after all your adversaries one by one. And pretty soon there's nobody left.
You pick them off. And maybe you go after federal judges as well, right?
They're already trying to exactly. or suggested impeaching some of these federal judges because
we know that well.
They ruled against this administration.
Exactly.
I mean, how is it that anyone that follows this administration or is a Trump fan thinks that everything he does is proper and good and for right. them?
And all of these people, imagine the nature of this conspiracy, right, Dom? That you've got federal judges, you've got lawyers, frankly, or adversaries between themselves on a regular basis. They've all gotten together, agency heads, people in personnel, people across the board, private sector, public sector, all these people, the former U.S. attorney in the Southern District of New York, people in public integrity section, National Security Division, all these people have gotten together and illegally, without any foundation, are attacking this president.
This poor
what an
guy.
Amazing, amazing conspiracy yeah. that is among all these people across our nation. Donald Trump is an advocate for our believing that conspiracy. Oh, my goodness.
Poor guy. I mean, president victim over here. I mean, right. maybe you don't do the criming and you won't be having the investigations. 855-752-4842. Uncle Tony, he chimes back in. Thank you, Uncle Tony. He said, thanks for the update. Was this new? Because everything I've seen and heard until now said they weren't doing anything. Sorry about that. This was from, I guess, the 11th, so a couple of days ago, three days ago, Tony. And I mean, it's not done yet, right?
This is
just starting.
And Tony, to support your, again, we appreciate so tremendously, Focus. It's a lot, right?
It's a lot.
Even when we were preparing for this wonderful broadcast, lots of things to keep in mind. And so the information of yesterday is overtaken by more outrage and more behavior, more conduct today and tomorrow. So it's happening very quickly.
It is. But you know what? We can do this.
We can do this. We can keep it all straight,
yeah.
can't we?
And we'll keep it straight. Right. We'll keep it easy. We'll keep it fun. We'll keep you informed. And we'll keep taking your calls and your texts. 855-752-4842. Andrew from Maine. Just imagine if the prior administration issued the same order against the firms and attorneys representing Trump in his various cases. Mm. Great point, Andrew. I think they would cry foul from the rooftops.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And thankfully, we have had a president in the prior term who never even came close to that. All these kinds of things. Even today's event that started off this broadcast, Joe Biden understood that arm's length relationship and talked about the big picture issues. But even it went so far as to permit, and I recognize that your callers are going to be jump all over this, permitted the Department of Justice through a special counsel to indict his own son. And yes, indeed, we can disagree and we can have disagreements about whether the pardon of that was proper or not. But the reality is, do you think for one moment that Donald Trump would permit Pam Bondi to indict any of the Trump children? Would not happen. Simply would not happen.
855-752-4842. Mark chimes in, or in the vein of Henry II. Saying, oh, won't someone rid me of these troublesome journalists?
Yes, there you go.
Right. Let's get to Ed from Cadott. Welcome, Ed. You are up. Happy Friday. Welcome. What do you got? Hello, Ed. We got Ed?
Am I on?
Yeah, hey, you're on the radio. Ed, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, I'm Cornell from Merrill. This is a book, 1776, by McCulloch, and it was a great line in the book. And he said, Thomas Jefferson said, you have to have free speech in the Constitution, or I will not sign the Constitution. So it shows that it is so important that we have the free speech in our country. And this is the book, 1776. It's a great book about the Revolutionary War.
Right on, man. Appreciate it.
Reliable history there. Absolutely.
We read the First Amendment in the last hour. Before we move on to the next segment and telling us something good, folks, the freedom of speech, does that also apply to, you know, international students with legal green cards in the state of, in this country, Jim?
Right. The answer is yes. The Supreme Court has said repeatedly that the protections of our Constitution, including the Bill of Rights, all the articles, and all of its very, very important support of fundamental rights. They protect not just citizens. We forget this sometimes, but people who are here, residents who are here, all of those things. That's why people who are not citizens can go into our courts and have their rights supported as well. Now, there are all kinds of processes. And yes, there can be different standards administratively for how these things are administered by ALJs and others. But the reality is the protections, including those of the First Amendment, apply across the board to anyone who is here. That's the grandeur, that's the glory of our nation for 250 years.
But the student's now sitting in a holding cell in Louisiana waiting to go to court, perhaps, I think we said, what, next week?
Right. And so, again, a judge will presumably look at this and say, show me the probable cause to believe that this person has engaged in crime. Again, we don't incarcerate people in this country absent probable cause to believe that there's been a crime committed, right? And so that's what the hearing next week will be all about. The government's got to come forward and say that advocacy, whatever you think about it, somehow is committing a crime under our laws.
Against our foreign policies.
Right,
so we
right.
have a student, an adult student, mind you, right. who protests against our foreign policy decisions, and they're not a full citizen. They're only here on a legal green card that they can just be whisked away. Is that the world we're living in now? I certainly hope not, Jim. Right.
And apparently it's what our president also says about these kinds of things.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. One final segment. James Santil, Jess P.S. Tell us something good. It's Friday. I know you got something. 855-752-4842. Come back with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now on the lines or the text, 855-752-4842. But we got a little rule of this segment. You can ask your questions, make your comments, but you got to start out by telling us something good.
That's right.
Tell us something good. Just loves it. We love to send you off on the weekend telling you something good. So let's get to it on the lines. Texters, you know, callers always come first. Mm-hmm. Wisco Paul, you are up. Happy Friday, Paulie. Tell us something good, buddy.
Hey, great show today for number one.
Yeah, thanks, man.
I learned a lot about democracy. Yeah, it was an awesome show. I learned a lot about democracy. But something good for me is Sue Crawford was great at the debate with Brad Schimmel, which in my mind is awesome for democracy and fair maps in Wisconsin. So that's my great thing for today. Anyway, you guys are great. Awesome. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Wisco. Have a great weekend, man. Appreciate it. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Tony, one good thing about Trump is he gives us lots of opportunities to learn civics.
All right.
The cup is half full.
I'm sure that was his intent, Tony, right?
Yes,
right.
Yes.
He really is an educator at heart, right? That's what this is all about. We're all going to get a test at the end of this term and determine whether or not we've listened to him along the way
not. What was it you said to me, Dom, today when you came in today? We all have the opportunity to be educators, to teach people what to do and what not to do.
That's right. And you remember.
I did. See, you taught me.
Right. Hey, you know, Trump ain't got... Socrates doesn't have anything on Trump.
Oh, my God.
It's Socrates. I know. I did Bill and Ted for everybody. Uh-huh. I don't want you thinking. Uh-huh. I don't want the megas going out there saying Socrates. How about you, Jim? You got something good? Anything you want to share?
I do, absolutely. And so we know that this coming Monday is St. Patrick's Day,
yes!
right? And I've talked before about some of the good things that sometimes go on in Washington, D.C. Lots and lots of things going on there, including kids' days, festivals, families, kinds of things. A couple of them caught my eye because it struck me as, again, a celebration of the heritage of America, our diversity, and especially our Irish residents of Irish heritage. We've got, for example, you can go to DIY Crafters. You can sip and you can script at St. Patrick's themed workshop. The course is an introduction to modern calligraphy. A pointed dip pen and ink. You get a nibs, ink, paper, and other tools. You can celebrate St. Patrick's Day by learning calligraphy. And a second one, if that's not enough, you can also go to the Dhaka Beer Garden. They're hosting not only a scavenger hunt throughout Washington, D.C., but also a murder mystery. Does it get any better than that in America? We celebrate St. Patrick's Day and all of our residents, our citizens of Irish heritage, those in other ways.
Is there any green beer with the calligraphy?
I'm guessing there probably is. Yes, I mean, yes.
It is St. Paddy's Day, and everybody's Irish on St. Paddy's Day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. How about you, mm-hmm. Jess? Anything great you want to share with the audience?
You know what, Dom? I don't think I've been able to share something good all week.
Oh, what?
Because we've had so many people calling in and sharing, and that itself is something pretty great.
It is.
However, over this past weekend, I had lunch with my parents, my sister, and her partner, and just... for over 2 hours, we sat and we laughed, and it just was a warm, happy moment. We hadn't gotten together, all five of us, in a fair amount of time.
Yeah.
And just setting aside that time and just being goofy and laughing and making gentle fun of each other in public. It was a great, great time.
Missing only calligraphy, Jess. That's the only thing that was missing, right?
I mean, there was a little bit of making fun of handwriting. Does that count?
Yes.
Okay, qualifies. Perfect.
Cursive. Must learn cursive. 855-752-4842. AJ from Madison. He chimes in. I saw the full moon the other day and was struck with the happiness and the thought of not being able to gaze at it, unlike the sun or the eclipse like Donald Trump did on camera. Thought of you guys in the Tell Me Something Good segment.
Aha!
All right.
It's working.
Thank you, AJ. Len from Madison. Something good would be a vote for Robin Hood. Take from the rich and give to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we could tax them a little more. That'd be great.
We stop doing the opposite?
Yeah, let's do that, Len. I like that idea. All right, I'll tell you something. I got the chance to hang out with my buddy Fancy Brian last night.
All right.
Oh, man, we went to Kegel's Inn. They had a beer tasting in the big tent and went around. And I just stuck to the booze. But Brian, he partook and we learned a lot about lots of European beers. It was great to catch up with our old friend, former producer, Big Fancy Brian. So it was great to see him as well. Next week, St. Paddy's Day on Monday. My daughter's birthday.
Oh, very good. What are you doing? How are you celebrating, Don?
Well, we're going to, the family's coming over on Sunday, Sunday, and we're going to kind of pre-celebrate. She's home from school, and so we're going to bring her boyfriend and the family and my brothers-in-law and hang out at the house and have a lunch and catch up.
Is this the big 20?
She's 20.
Oh, my.
You believe my baby girl is 20 years old.
Wow.
I know. Hey, look at me. How is that even possible?
It is impossible.
Yeah, when you were five.
12. So looking forward to that on Sunday. And, of course, Izzy busy. Her birthday is going to be on Monday. So we're going to have a great weekend. And, of course, next week, I mean, St. Paddy's Day. You know, nothing's getting done on Monday. I know all you folks out there. You're going to try. You're going to pretend. Oh, I think I feel a cold coming on Monday. I'm sick Monday. Hey, it's Friday.
Like the Super Bowl flu.
I've got a scavenger hunt to go to in Washington, D.C.
Right. Learn that calligraphy, Jim. Hey, folks, thank you so much for listening to this fine program. Thank you, James Santel,
always
former
pleasure,
U.S.
Don.
Attorney and host of Amicus, a Law Review. Be sure you check him out on Saturdays, 9 to 11 a.m. He takes the calls just like we do. Loves it when he gets challenged a little bit. Give Jim a call and hang out with us. Thank you, Jess P.S. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you for all that you do. And our fair audience, you too. Have a great weekend. We'll be back on the air on Monday with our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kane. Now stick around. Pete Schwab of the Nightlight is coming up next. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on the radio Monday.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.